trial run.
Echo.
All right, I'm gonna call this Board of Directors meeting to order. It's April 8th, 2026, and it is 4:01. All right, let's all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And I'd like to let everybody know this board meeting is being recorded. Could I get roll call, please?
Nancy Oxenall?
Here.
Tim Beatty?
Here.
Eric Creighton?
Here.
Jerry Warner?
Yep.
Dan Drayton?
Here.
All right, Chief, were there any other public comments received by phone, mail, or email other than the card?
Other than that, that's the card. So that was from the Oregon State, the Honor Guard, and they did the presentation at Ed Ulrich's funeral, and we gave them a donation to help cover the costs on that. So that was what they sent to us.
Thank you. Okay, let's move down to the minutes, board minutes of 3/11/2026. Is there any review or discussion? Hearing any, looking for a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenall?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yep.
Dan Drayton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, let's move down to the financials. Has the Secretary of Treasury reviewed the banking reconciliations?
Yes, and I passed out of what I did for the quarterly audit. Everybody should have a copy. We reviewed the LGIP transfers to the checking accounts. We have two checking accounts, if people don't know. We have a general checking and we have a payroll checking.
Correct.
I reviewed Iconi Pro payments, payroll, the Melio users, and Endurance Sports. I'm like, what are these guys ordering now? Endurance Sports? So I looked it up and you're able to see all the paperwork for it and everything, and it's two surfboards for water rescue.
Perfect.
So yeah, so that was good to know. And then I spent 2 hours with the bookkeeper.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was all completed.
Did you fill out your time card?
All right, monthly financial report, Chief.
You can see there, so I'll just kind of briefly go through. Page one, property taxes current year. We've collected 97.9%. That's still $110,000 less than of our 94% collection rate. Page two, ambulance services. We've done very well collecting for our ambulance stuff. And in fact, just a side note on that, I was just doing some stuff before the meeting. For every dollar we charge out, we collect 40 cents. That's the reimbursement rates as it comes out. So it's pretty poor. And there's a lot of work going on for that. Page three, so again, we're at 75% of the year. So page three, programs and events, that was a major cost on that was the awards banquet. The medical costs and background investigations for volunteers because of our recruitment, that's gone high. Of the staff salaries, the bottom one there with the office administrator, that's high because of Crean's vacation and holiday kind payouts. The next one that comes up that's really high is our PERS. So our PERS were at 78.7%, so we're about 3.7% over for the year. And hopefully we can reel that. I don't know that we can reel that in any, but we've estimated we're spending $935,000 on PERS, and we're spending a lot of that. Page six, medical costs for the staff physicals that the firefighters have to do are at 88%. I think we're winding that down for the year, so we should be okay. Anyway, overall personnel services 71.4%. Then under materials and services, the audit we've talked about, that's already been completed. Our dues and subscriptions category, we paid a lot of those for the year. Our bank charges are just again, we spent way more money than this year, so we'll correct that in next year's budget. Then I jumped to page 7, and so under page 7, quite a bit for station repairs. We had the excess on the station 15 we talked about, the Otis roof repair that's in there. Also the same thing in station 16, we just run into a lot of repairs on that building too. On page 8, so building repairs, we're at 93% for the year, and then we're gonna take a big hit on that. With the roof on the training tower, when that gets started, that's $11,000. So we'll be significantly over in the repair work. Page 9, fuel. As everybody knows, fuel's killing us. So we're at 82.7% of our fuel costs. I expect that to go over 100% by the end of the year. In next year's budget, I added $20,000 just for fuel costs. And if you get to page 10, the total material and services, 61%. And then on page 11, we've spent 57% of our budget. Now that also includes the ladder truck. So this Friday, tomorrow, we'll be spending another $600,000, the next payment on the ladder truck. So that'll come out of that. And then so that 57% will jump up considerably.
Is that the second payment?
That's the second payment, yes. Yep. Second payment, and then next month when they go back and pick up the brush rig, they're gonna have another $80,000 payment to them also. And they go back to wherever they're going back to, Minnesota, Wisconsin, something like that. Okay, that's all I've got. Unless you have any specific questions, I can answer.
Any further discussion?
Well, I had a question. There was one lady that was local out notice, and she was charged I think it was her insurance that finally paid it. Ambulance billing.
Ambulance billing?
Yeah. And I thought, why are we charging a local ambulance billing?
Because we have a policy that we will charge ambulance billing. It's not within our services that we normally charge. And so if you got transported by Pacific West Ambulance, they make no difference whether you're a local person or a resident or from out of the town. And we made that same decision. So for highway billing, if you're a local tax-paying resident, we will accept what your insurance company pays, and if nothing pays, we don't charge you for it.
Okay.
Completely different than ambulance billing.
Okay.
Again, ambulance billing, we're getting 40 cents on the
dollar.
Oh,
I know. So. I know.
And what do you attribute that?
Insurance company.
Medicare. Okay. So. $1,500 charge for Medicare.
What you're saying.
They give you $400 and say, here, have fun. So that's just the way it is, unfortunately. Anything else? In Endurance was surfboards that were purchased by the district. The Volunteer Association reimbursed us for that.
Mm-hmm.
The Water Rescue Team went to the Volunteer Association and said, hey, would you buy these for us?
Yeah.
So that wasn't within our specific budget line item, but you'll see an in and an out with that.
Mm-hmm.
So the Volunteer Association paid for that.
Okay. Anything further on the monthly financial report? Looking for a motion to approve.
So moved.
I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yep.
Dan Drayton.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, moving down to 2026 first quarter QuickBook audit. Any review or discussion? It was all in our packet. Won't be in the paper packet, I don't think. You didn't print it.
There's a few things in there that you'll see a tab on there. There's a few things. Just not that Excel spreadsheet, because it would have been like 58 pages.
I just like looking at the QuickBook. The rest of it, you can do it.
Okay. Is there anybody have any questions or? Good. Moving down to budget. We have our budget meeting next Wednesday, April 15th at 4:00. And Chief, did you have something you wanted to bring up?
Sure, a couple things. So you can see the budget committee personnel there. We're going to come up on the end of four people in their terms. So they're able to do this budget meeting, but we need to recruit and retain or something like that, have a discussion during the budget meeting to see who wants to do that for next year. I'll see if I can, the other thing, so it's in your, and so all the board members got your copies of the budget. So, and this is, we'll get the other ones out to the budget committee members before Friday. I wanted to just look at my budget message, which is on page three there, and just kind of go over a couple of things that are going to be important at the budget committee. And I don't read this verbatim at the budget committee. It's just really it's kind of a waste. It's not a good use of the time. So just to hit the highlights. So in that first paragraph there, you can see that our budgets for the three areas are considerably, 12,126,000, right? So that's all three budgets combined. And I mean by budgets, the debt service, the operational budget, and then for our bond money that we still have left over. We tax $3 billion worth of property. That's pretty significant. We conservatively estimate that we're going to collect, that the increase is going to be 2.5%. So the legislature says you can go up to 3%, but we go to 2.5%. Just because you guess low, you guess low on your income and you guess high on your expenses, and hopefully you balance out. So our property values only increased 2.9%. They didn't even go up the 3% that we would have normally had. And then the two urban renewal districts are going to take $57,246 away from our budget. So we don't get the value of over $84 million worth of property. And that's a terrible thing. Now we have, as I was discussing the other day with State Farm Marshal's office, some stuff, and we were talking about the forest land classification and how fire districts are trying to get more money. And I mentioned urban renewal, and both the guys from the fire marshal's office just shook their heads because they know how bad that impacts every fire district throughout the state of Oregon. And Lincoln City has, and Jerry knows this, the highest percentage of urban renewal districts of any city in the state of Oregon. Yep. We are at 23% of the property in the city of Lincoln City is within an urban renewal district. And that's terrible, especially when it's city-owned property.
Yeah.
And its tax base is zero, and then they sell it to somebody, and it's frozen at zero. So even though they sell it to somebody and that person develops or puts houses or commercial property on it, it's still the permanent rate is zero for 25 years. And that just, it kills us. Now, what does the city try and do to mitigate that? Well, not much. they did, the dispatch service fee was forgiven a couple years ago, but that's $60,000. And you look at just this year, in which the fact we're not gonna collect $57,000. Next year, that number will be up into the 80s, and the following year, it'll be up into the 150s, and it just keeps exponentially getting bigger and bigger, and that's terrible.
The other thing is that all these transitional housing and apartments, they don't pay tax either,
no.
And there's a lot of calls that go to all of them.
Yeah.
And so another hit.
The new thing that they're building up there across from Wildflower, the new construction, mm-hmm. we collect zero. It's county property. We don't get anything off of that. So we estimate our carryover this next year. We were at $6.5 million last year because of the ladder truck purchase and some one-time money that we got. We're going to drop back down to $4.6 million in our carryover balances. We do get other resources besides tax money, and I listed those in there for the budget committee to see. We are looking for and trying to get additional revenue sources anytime we can. So the short-term rental inspections were one of those That's about $60,000 we're getting in the year for that. If we do more transports ambulance-wise, that's additional money from that. I even made this, so we do inspections of all new, if somebody gets a building permit, it comes to us, we do an inspection, we charge $100 for houses, and it can be from $200 to $400 for commercial properties. We're doing an outstanding job for that within the county and within the city. There was a meeting today that Cody was at, that the rest of the county, those guys are struggling. So I made the offer to all the other fire chiefs and said, hey, we'll inspect for you also, but we're gonna still charge that $100 for a residence, and then we're gonna charge your fire district $100 too. And then you guys don't have to worry about it. So I've got one fire district that's considering that. I don't know that they have a lot of business for that, but any revenue stream we can come up with to help offset these things, we have to look at.
Are we getting any 911 money from the state?
That money goes directly to the city of Lincoln City.
I know, but I,
yeah, we don't
they, they're not sharing.
No, they don't share that with us. And then even that's just from the city. All the money from the county 911 goes to Salem, to WVCC. So it's only within the city. The city only gets the city limits.
But the city is waiving our dispatch fee.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, which we were paying quite a bit for that before.
So operationally, during our operational budget, we're increasing $396,000 over last year. Our resource income is only increasing by $143,889. So we're spending about $250,000 more than we're bringing in, mm-hmm. as compared to last year, as those numbers come through. So again, those other revenue streams, those are the things that we need to try and look at. So what's that $250,000 come from? That ending fund balance, our savings account. And that's why we have to continue to be fiscally responsible and looking for the best prices on things, turning the lights off when we can, anything we can to continue to save money, because in the end of the day, we're not arguing with anybody else. We're not competing with the police department. We're not competing with the parks department. Our money is our money.
What is a total amount of like a 6 months employee and payroll approximately to run this for 6 months?
For 6 months? Mm-hmm. So employees cost us, depending upon their, on average, $150,000.
A month?
No, for 6 months. You said, so $150,000 for a year. So $75,000,
okay.
is about, and that's just an average.
Right.
If you take our highest paid employee last year,
mm-hmm.
cost us, and it was a line firefighter, a captain, mm-hmm. he cost us $210,000 for a year. Top step guy, paramedic, all that stuff.
What is 6 months of operating? Everything.
I'd have to jump in. So basically, okay. I would, if you want to go just to operational costs, I'd have to get out a calculator.
Okay.
I could tell
okay.
you.
Okay, I think we need at least 6 months
in the bank.
The pot. Yes.
Yeah. And that's
so that
why
if the levy didn't go through,
we
still have money to pay for a couple months.
Yeah, and that would be an optimal thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we use that ending fund balance to pay our bills, mm-hmm. for the first 5 months. And so our levy, if it doesn't pass,
mm-hmm.
pass. So we'll have three attempts,
mm-hmm.
until we don't have the money. We could essentially keep people on for through the next election after that.
Okay.
And at that point, you're just kind of, I don't know. That's a conversation I don't want to have. It's going to be,
mm-hmm.
Quite a ways down the road from now. Personnel services are our highest area. So we're increasing this year's budget, the proposed budget. Our personnel services are going to increase by 7.35% or $358,000. Material and services is going up 4.1%. Okay. Capital outlay is the same, or not the same, the capital outlay budget is $212,000, and that money's there predicting that we're going to get grants, right? So if we get we put in a grant for, let's say, a drone. And so we've got in the budget, there's $12,000 for a drone.
Mm-hmm.
If we get the grant, we buy the drone. If we don't get the grant, we don't buy the drone. So if it's not coming in, it won't go out. But we have to show that money within our budget so that if it does come in, we can spend it. Debt service, so our debt service increased a little bit this year. And so that's basically coming up about 2 cents higher on the taxes than it did last year. So we're gonna need to collect, and the county will tell us how much, but Kathy and I estimate about $985,000 to make our bond payments. So at the end of the day, we're spending 82% of our budget on personnel services. That is the highest portion of this at 82. So, you know, you're looking at 18% of our budget pays for maintenance, fuel, utility bills, all that kind of stuff. So we're kind of locked in on that personnel services. The only place we can really squeeze and get things out of is that other 18% that'll get us back. So I wanted to bring that up because, again, I'm not gonna sit here and talk like that to the budget committee when it comes in. They can read this, they'll get it in advance. I think what happens is when we get into the meat and potatoes, the comparison of last year to this year is where they get to answer those questions, so.
Can we make sure we call all the budget people next week and remind them about the meeting so we don't have two no-shows again?
Yeah, I sent them the budget packet today with a reminder as well, and then I let them know that I have the books printed and ready as well, so. Okay. But yeah, I can reach out to them again Monday.
Thank you.
Okay, so, and then remember we get to elect a chairman of the committee and then also, it's usually the treasurer.
Well, she's a budget officer, so, yeah.
You already put me down.
He runs the meeting.
You can ask for more money, Nancy.
I know, I'm gonna.
Whatever you can get.
We double what you got now.
Any questions about that, the stuff? I mean, again, I can answer you with what it takes to run the place for 6 months. You know, you could take probably 3.9 million is what I would just roughly guess. I mean, I could get into the nitty gritty and tell you what those dollars are. You just basically take everything and half it out. Uh-huh. You know, some of the things that come in, we pay all up front. Uh-huh. You know, we pay our liability insurance in one big thing. Although Kathy doesn't, she'll show it monthly on our financials, but we've already paid the entire bill up front. And so, and that stuff comes out pretty much right in July and August. So those kinds of things will change those numbers a little bit. Our medical insurance went up 10%, mm-hmm. And our workers' comp went up 5%, and then we got, you know, cost of living raises and all that kind of stuff. On the material and services side, our liability insurance for the district went up 10%. So that's why a lot of things went up. Things that we really don't have any control over. My next year's budget, as you'll see, so just for PERS alone is $1 million.
Jesus.
And this year it's flat. Next year PERS, they meet and it will go up again next year and it will be for 2 years. They do 2 year cycles. I would not hesitate to say that PERS will probably go at a minimum of 4% next year for them to make things up again. So, but that's my guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Anything further on the budget? Okay. Old business, we have none. New business, we have none. Go down to local union 5169 report. It's an informational presentation only.
Yes, sir.
Joe, I'm going to try and do the share screen thing so that. It will say to select a tab to share. I think I got to pull it up before it will select.
Well, first and foremost, thanks for making the 10-minute time block to let me talk. And I know you usually get three, so I appreciate you taking the time and adding me. For those who don't know me, my name is Joe Morgan. I've been a firefighter with North Lincoln for coming up on 3 years now, and I'm the acting vice president for our union local. I understand this is not a negotiation at all. This is purely informational. I have some research-backed information for you guys. I just wanted to share the perspective of all of our line staff as we come up on COLA raises. So if you could click, are we in slideshow? Perfect. So
just smile and I'll push the
button. Yeah, sounds good. Yeah. So our intent, our commitment, so all of our guys are really proud to serve this community. And we care deeply about this organization and its success. It's a great job, and we all know that. So the purpose of this presentation is to provide context of current economic conditions, as I'm sure you all feel as well, share how these conditions impact our line personnel, and then highlight the factors that influence long-term workforce sustainability within our district. So economic reality. In my research, I found that there's been approximately 4% increase in cost of living in Lincoln City. I found that on salary.com. CPI West shows that there's been a 2% regional inflation cost. CPI West states that there's been a 0.5% increase just in February alone. And then I found some federal information that they're adjusted rate for inflation for the fiscal year is at 2.5% increase. So this is all just to say that baseline cost of living continues to go up year over year. Daily cost pressures. So the biggest one, as Chief had mentioned, is fuel costs, and we feel that. Commuting to work. So we're seeing both effects for those who live in district. Lincoln City is not a cheap place to live. Housing costs keep going up. Food costs keep going up. Utilities keep going up. And then those who don't live in district are also facing those raising fuel prices for their commutes. So yeah, it increases our cost of simply getting to work. So purchasing power, what these rising costs mean for us. So increases in expense directly affect our take-home value. If our cost of living increase can't keep pace with the cost of living, our purchasing power goes down and declines. So another aspect is organizational alignment. There's wage adjustments across different levels of our organization. Consistency in these COLA increases across each level supports trust and cohesion within our district. Alignment in these strengthens our organizational culture and just trust within each other. So perceived fairness, just in that percentage of increase, plays a critical role in maintaining a unified and happy, high morale workforce. So the human element to this impact on our personnel. So fiscal stress affects focus, wellness, and general job satisfaction. As employees, we want to feel valued. We want to feel supported, especially our frontline guys when we do a dangerous job, and we want to feel like we have that support and backing. So morale directly influences performance, engagement, and most of all, retention. So my key point here is compensation decisions influence more than just our finances. They shape and affect our culture and our morale. So as I said, there's been this is research-backed and data-backed. Pay and morale are statistically significant factors in firefighter retention. They go hand in hand in keeping people around. People want to be happy. People want to be supported. National data shows turnover costs exceed $1 trillion annually across fire industry. So this is all just to say that investing in us and retaining experienced personnel is more cost effective than potential replacement and supports long-term organizational stability. That's not saying that people are looking to run out the door. All that's saying is that we want to be happy. We want to feel supported. That's all that is. So in summary, cost of living continues to rise through daily expenses, through housing. Our purchasing power is impacted if we can't keep up with that cost of living increase. If our wages can't keep up, if our wage increase can't keep up with inflation, then we're not actually getting a wage increase. Additional organizational alignment and morale are critical, and retention is both operationally and financially important. And finally, I just have sources if, oh no, final thought. So my final thought is just, it's not just a number on a spreadsheet. It goes beyond just the budget. I understand we have to operate within the budget, but it's an investment in the people who put the community first every day, and we deliver the mission every single day. We show up happy and deliver that mission. And then I just have sources, if you care to see those. But that's all. I just wanted you guys to consider
thanks,
everything and give you our perspective. Mm-hmm. So thanks for listening.
Appreciate you coming in.
Yeah. Any questions before I'm done?
Not at this time.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. If you could print that out for Krista so she can add it to the...
Yeah. I saw it in my email. Thank you.
Oh, you got it already? All right, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, let's move down to committee and staff reports.
First one we got listed in here is Chief Bickerdike's report. And so, Dave, you've got...
Just hit the high notes. So March training hours, we had 1,071.
Woo!
Well, that has everything to do with the Firefighter One Academy that we're running. So we've got our normal training hours on top of the Firefighter One Academy.
That's great.
We had a couple of skills days that were 8-hour days, which we had several people down there and thrilled. We could take a real big whack out of hours when we put that many people in motion for that long. You see all the assignments there. Monday night drills completed. You can see all the Firefighter Academy classes that we covered in the month of March. All that to say that I'm asking a lot of our recruits, and they're doing a fantastic job. Certifications received. Mr. Steed got his apparatus equipped with an aerial device.
Good.
Training tower, you guys are up to date with regards to that. And then I can just talk real briefly about the Firefighter One and Support Person Academy. So we've got a good group of people. Everybody is invested. Everybody is you know, like I say, they're curious, they're dedicated, they're hardworking. They come to class on Monday nights and Wednesday nights. On Monday nights, between Monday and Wednesday, they've got a homework assignment. They've got a reading assignment and a test they have to complete. Between Wednesday and the next Monday, they have a homework assignment and a test that they have to complete. And my students produce every single time, you know. They do a fantastic job.
What are training hours Monday?
What's that?
What are the training hours Monday and Wednesday?
Between 6 and 9 p.m.
Thank you.
So they do a fantastic job, and I'm truly blessed to have the group of people that I have. I take no credit for the people. It's completely them. So we have several of our career firefighters that have been very, very engaged with this class and very supportive of the class and instrumental in their development. Mr. Morgan back here is one of those. He has come in several times on his dime off and volunteered his time that way. And then also, he is routinely engaged when he's on shift. He's been, so kind of the motivating factor, I don't know if you guys saw the social media post about the Zero to Hero race that we did in the Bays where they jump into their turnouts. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So Captain Wakefield initially inspired a little bit of competitiveness with regards to that, and Captain Wakefield narrowly beat the class because they've been working so hard. As soon as they were done with Captain Wakefield, they had already seen Mr. Morgan back here the first couple of weeks of class. As soon as they were done with Captain Wakefield, they looked at me and said, "What did Mr. Morgan get?" And so we knew they were coming for him, and he was very, very smiley and happy about the competition. Uh-huh. And he embraced it, and it made a big difference. It really did.
And who won?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matthew Young.
Ball crack.
Oh, wow.
Matthew Young, yeah.
What was the time?
I want to see the tape, I don't believe it.
57 seconds?
It was, he did 52 out of 53.
That's okay.
Wow.
There was even money on the table.
There was even money on the table, yeah.
That's impressive.
So, anyhow, they're doing fantastic. Mr. Morgan, Mr. DeBoer, Hunter Periani has dedicated some of his time. I'm sure that there's a couple others that I'm overlooking. Trent Rainforth has been another one that has been instrumental. So they're doing a great job. And then Mr. Salakra, one of our volunteers, has offered up a tremendous amount of his time and resources. And he's serving as an advocate or mentor for the class. He's available to them basically anytime they call. And then he is also helping me run this academy. So he's doing a fantastic job for us as well.
That's great. And I like the pictures.
It's all coming from him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the picture's there. So one of those is the one on the far right is the skills day. They were just down there learning how to flow water. And then the center one there is flammable liquids and gases. That's DPSST bringing their props down. Mm-hmm. And then the same thing with the one on the left. So, and then we just had car fires on Monday that was also a DPSST prop. So, but anyhow, that's how our academy's going. We're going to be turning out a good group of people here very soon.
Is your girlfriend calling you again, Jerry?
Thanks, Dave.
Sorry about that.
It's all right. All done? Yep. Any questions for Dave?
Nope.
Okay. Good job.
Yeah, great job.
Well, we got Cody's report here next. Cody is online. Cody is home prepping for a colonoscopy in the morning, so he's too scared to actually come sit in the room. I offered him.
I thought it was today.
No, tomorrow, 11 o'clock. Chuck's in a diaper. He wouldn't right sit now here.
Should have just had him come in. We'd have done it.
Get there with a flashlight.
Garden hose there.
So, Cody, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Well, you heard that, huh?
Yeah.
Sarah, please omit that from the minutes.
If I hear the toilet flush in the back, I'm leaving. So Cody's report's there. Anything you want to add to your report, Cody?
Nope. Just if there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Okay. When are you going to open up City Hall? Underneath.
Whenever they get the sprinkler system fixed.
Okay. All right. I'll need some extra help next week, Thursday, Friday, since I'm sure it'll still be closed. And the boys could come a half hour earlier, 2:30, because we'll have to move all the food boxes and everything upstairs to the third floor loading dock, and we'll be passing food out behind the library, behind City Hall.
Okay.
If it's possible.
We'll see what we can do. We'll get some folks up there.
Yeah.
I don't see it's a problem. That's Cody's report. Cody and Dave are both gone next week. They're up at Clackamas County Fire Training. They'll be taking their Fire Officer 3 and 4 class. It's a combined class, so all week next week. And then there's another, a couple weeks later, there's another 3 days you got to go back for.
Yeah.
So they'll be gone. Sarah's in charge.
Nice.
Krista thinks she's in charge, but I don't know if Sarah's in charge. So. Next is my report there. I'll be as brief as possible. So we only did 4 ambulance transports this last month. However, 3 of them were interfacility. 2 of them were very critical transports that we had people come in. On one of them, and people on ventilators and stuff like that. So,
are you manning it with 2 people or 3 then, if you have a ventilator?
3.
Okay.
Yeah. In case there's a problem with the ventilator. So anyway, on one of them, the oxygen main got really low, and they were told the guy driving to hurry up because they were going to run out before they got to Good Sam Corvallis. They didn't run out. Things were working. Mm-hmm. So, You can see how much we've collected, so different monies received there. So building maintenance stuff, again, the roof replacement, that $12,000 hasn't started because they had weather. Well, I was wondering why the last 2 weeks they hadn't been there. So I sent an email today to find out what's going on. We have an engine in with Cummins for some, what I was hoping is warranty work. This is one that last November we spent $32,000 to get fixed. It threw a code on the dashboard, and it was an EGR, and then it also has turned into an air compressor and a fuel pump. And so they're still waiting for the fuel pump to come in. I'm hoping that they're gonna go pick that up maybe tomorrow, but for sure Friday. And I'm not sure what of that's gonna be under warranty, we'll see. Because when we got this other work done, we got a 2-year, 100,000-mile warranty. But then when I talked to the guy, he goes, yeah, that 2-year, 100,000 is just on what we fixed. If it's something else, that's gonna be additional onto that. We had to get 8 tires on the rear tender 12 because they were just sold, and we had a big gash out of one of them. So that's an expenditure from Les Schwab, you'll see, about $5,000. And then Dave can speak to this a little bit more. I didn't go to the meeting yesterday, but they had a meeting with the school district and Morris Excavation about the runway between the baseball field and our property and vehicles coming through there. You know, we're not gonna stop foot traffic. I think if you put anything up, the kids are gonna find a way to get out of it. But we had some issues with vehicles going through there, and with us out there training, it can be a dangerous situation. So Dave, I don't know what you guys, I know Morris came up and he put some stuff in and he put rocks on top of it so people couldn't move anything.
Yeah. So there's a temporary barrier right now with traffic pylons and caution tape, and that seems to be doing the job just fine for the time being. We just talked to the school and tried to figure out what their long-term plans were for, you know, the area and whether they planned on putting up a barrier down there. And when that giant hole is filled in, they do plan on actually putting up a fence with an access gate so we can still get emergency vehicles through, and or they can potentially get some access for any construction projects or anything like that. But basically they're going to be utilizing that new open space on their side as just parking. And so they agreed that the traffic going through our facility was not a good thing, and they apologize for it, and it's, you know, a moot point. We've got a barrier up there now and whatnot. So, but yeah, it sounds like the school district plans on putting up a fence, and they'll do something similar to what the football field is, just have a big double gate in there so that there's still access back and forth. Like Chief said, I mean, you could put electric fence and razor wire down there and you wouldn't keep the kids out, you know. So we're just gonna maintain a good relationship with the students walking through. And by and large, the students are pretty observant. You know, they really do pay attention when we got major operations and things like that going on. They take a wide berth, so I think we did pretty good there.
The next section, talk about vehicle sales. So we've been looking into brush 16 because we anticipate on selling that when the new brush truck gets here. And we found that we might be able to get between $30,000 and $40,000 for that. Yeah, that'd be great if we could. But those are just some initial research that Cody's done and looked at to do that. The new brush truck, the completion date is still early. I'd say it's now mid-May. I think we said May 15th is what the last one we got. The ladder truck, again, the second payment will go out Friday here of $583,000. We did sell that trailer-mounted generator for $900. That we haven't got the money from GovDeals yet. That's why you don't have the thing in your book. But we've had that. That was an old T&D piece of equipment, and it's been sitting around here for a long time and not got used.
How long does it take to get money from Gov?
They're usually about 4 weeks.
Okay.
So that's kind of how they make a little bit on it, is they collect the money and then they hang on to it and it gains interest in their account before they, even though they take a percentage anyway. alarm responses. So you can see that we responded to 281 alarms. So we were up according to from March of last year to March of this year. But for the entire year, we're still down 4.2% of where we were last year. So I know we went up 6% last year, which kind of caught up because we had gone down 5.5% and another another percentage point. So then it dropped back, we moved back up, and now we're spiraling down again. So and I guess, you know, when people have a bad day, we don't want people to have a bad day. So that's a good thing that they're not calling us as much. But things are going down. So high acuity incidents for this last month. We had a cliff rescue off the end of Road's End, and Earl was involved in that, and then he tried to do another one yesterday too. So
he's got four.
Yeah. Had a house fire on John's Loop, and so that ended up with one of the occupants being rescued out of there because there was an elderly man who was still sitting in there. There was fire that was underneath the house, and actually coming up through vents and things like that. And so Cody went inside and grabbed the guy, picked him up, and carried him outside. So I hate to say that the fire marshal rescued somebody from a house, kinda, but that's what he did. And it, you know, it did, I don't know if it saved his life, so to speak, but he could have sustained some significant injuries sitting in there breathing all that smoke and that kind of stuff. The floor was pretty soft when they got in there because the fire had been burning under the house. And the cause of the fire was improperly discarded smoking material.
Pot?
Maybe. Which is why he was still sitting in his house. We did have a bathroom exhaust fan at a fire that started in a bathroom exhaust fan, one of the motels down on 51st Street. The quick response by Station 16 and Riley getting down there, identifying it and putting it out, saved a lot of damage that could have occurred. So that's another reason that we need to tout why that station is staffed down there. But it also identified some problems that the fire marshal needs to go and have, especially with motel owners. The noise, it's buzzing, so we silence the fire alarm. Well, you're silencing a fire alarm that should be going to get the people out of the motel that has a fire. So we have some education to do in that respect.
You need to go down and look at those, the dump of these little houses. They're blue. You come off 51st and they're on the right-hand side, not far down. I went in one and it was just like, oh my God. I don't even think
wait till we talk about the Comfort Inn. You don't learn nothing until we talk about the Comfort Inn next month. we're close to closing that one down, and that's full of county mental health people. So anyway, he's got his hands full with that one just from the other day. And then they had an RV fire at the KOA campground that completely destroyed the RV. So personnel stuff, again, the one guy's on probation. Raise your hand if you're on probation. he's still here on probation. Another couple months left. Seth's doing an outstanding job. In fact, who was the one to make the calendar? The 12 months of Seth. because Trent's leaving us in July for the National Guard for his basic training, we put out that application. In the first week, we had 10 applicants, and then we've gotten we had four, and then we got a couple more even since then.
Yeah, I think we're up to like 17.
17 applications for a job. So we're able to recruit, and that's not a big deal.
That's great.
So we've got some people. They're not, you know, they're new people, right? Their minimums have to be a firefighter one, and they have to have their EMT. We're not putting into that they have to be a driver because we're not going to let them, you know, new get into driving fire trucks. They got a lot of other work to do. So, but we have enough applications, and we kept it open through the end of the month just because I wasn't sure what we were going to get, and maybe we should have closed it sooner. John Wilkinson is still on light duty, and he's doing a lot of stuff for Cody and short-term rental inspections. The other stuff we have in there, 15 volunteers first year of training. We did lose one out of Dave's class, one of the support volunteers. She decided that it just wasn't for her. We did gain another one who is going through Riley's. Riley actually kind of recruited him. He's going through Riley's EMT class at Community College. He was a student firefighter with Cloverdale Fire over next to Sisters, and he comes with certifications. So, and then we have one new volunteer application. It's a returning firefighter EMT that has been here. She was here before and then left and worked for the sheriff's office, and now she's going to come back. So
who's that?
Sicily. You may not know her.
Gouge?
Yeah. So. Cadet program's going really well. So actually, we had 6 cadets. We had another one very interested. So we were able to take one of the cadets who turned 18 and move him out of that program kind of unofficially so we could bring another one in. And so when Tolan turned 18, and so he can get out of that because that program is for, you know, 16 and 17-year-olds. When he turned 18, he can get out. Now, he's still part of the program, but it was nice to bring in another student or another cadet into that program. So that's what we're working on doing.
Do we need to look at increasing it to 8?
Well, we have a board policy right now that we put in 6. So your policy that you approve says 6. It's not a bad idea. The problem is that instructor cadet ratio that we need to maintain. Mm-hmm. And so if we add, so for every 3 that are there, we have to have 1 instructor. So mm-hmm. if we're at 6, we got to have 2 instructors there. Mm-hmm. If we go higher than that, we have to have 3 instructors. And now you're impacting a lot of other things for that. So those are the decisions that were made when we put that together.
So is Tolan going to step up to the real cadet program when next time comes around?
Yep. Yeah, he's still in high school, so, you know, I mean, us having him, he's still coming to the Monday night drills and doing that kind of stuff, but handing him a pager and things like that, we're going to wait till he, you know, we've only got a couple of months left and he'll be out, so. And then his future plan, so at Rotary, he got to stand up and speak to everybody because he got Student of the Month or something like that, and he's going to go to Eastern Oregon University and get his degree in fire administration. And you know, I want to be a firefighter, and I'm sitting there just kind of shaking my head, you know. So, anyway, that's his life plan. So, this will be good experience for him to get there. The rest of the stuff here, so we are meeting with Oregon Parks and Recreation this Friday about the driftwood and the debris that's down on the beach in 51st Street and around the point there. And we are going to try and come up with some sort of a plan so that this summer it reduces the fire hazard and we're not going out 2 and 3 times a night because somebody sees a campfire that got abandoned. It's a poor use of resources. It's not our problem, right?
So does the state own it or the city own it?
Depends on where you go. So I have a map now from Chief Broderick that shows basically the dock at 51st Street is kind of the dividing line. So anything east of that dock is city. So everything from that point all the way around is Oregon Parks and Recreation. That's the map he sent me. And that's kind of what Jeannie Sprague finally agreed to. She was saying none of it was the city's. And they said no, that it was. So anyway, Dave and Cody are meeting with them on Friday down there at the beach to have that discussion and decide what we're gonna do. And then we're gonna set out some parameters as we do now. So if we go down, if we're tapped out for a call down there, they're not going to ask a lot of the questions we would like them to. They're just going to take the information. If it's bigger than the size of a car, okay, we'll go put it out. If it's not that big and it's attended, we're not. If it's near beach grass and it's threatening, we're going to go put it out. I hope that they take a track hoe down there and make big, giant piles and we throw gasoline and diesel on it and light this stuff on fire and burn it. Just watch it burn for a couple of days. I'm hoping that David Cody emphasized that same thing. Yeah.
That or I would say open it to the public, let them come get what they want.
Sure.
People have wanted to take stuff, you know, and all along.
And it's not just the driftwood that's down there or the wood. There are still pieces of docks and houses and just all sorts of other crap that's down there. Mm-hmm. And then it goes back to when we had the discussion with the city a year ago. What is your vision of 51st Street? What do you imagine this beach to be look like? Do you want it a nice, inviting environment for families to come take their kids down there, and you want to have, you know, things in their gazebo that they have down there? And then I found out the gazebo is rusting and about ready to fall apart. I bet they're going to close that down here pretty quick too. But
I'll just send Cody.
So, anyways, we're going to have that meeting on Friday, and hopefully we can come to some resolution. Homeland Security Grant. Again, we're waiting for the funding from FEMA. There's a letter in there, you can see the next page. So I was asked by the State Fire Marshal's Office to be the Lincoln County representative on the Forest Land Classification Committee. Basically, it's a group of timber owners, ODF, and then I'm the fire representative on there that looks at all the properties around the county and determines, is it protected by the fire district? Is it protected by Oregon Department of Forestry? Where is their overlapping? Where are their funding and where's their money going? And so I had about an hour-long meeting the other day with OSFM with two of their very high-up people, and they kind of explained to me what my job is in that. And so they only meet once a year, but this year when they meet, they're actually talking about the north end of the county. And so hopefully we can continue that relationship with Oregon Department of Forestry and get additional revenue and increases and set the tone for the rest of the county where we can get some additional funding coming in. AFG grant's still out there. We purchased a lot of stuff for our Oregon Department VFC grant, and then we've also applied for the Oregon Department of Forestry VFC grant for this next year. And this next year, they upped that to $15,000. So we were able to apply for some more things. We'll see if we get it or not. We didn't have a problem last year getting it. So the budget's complete. We're still having ongoing discussions with the union over wages. I asked Cody to make a copy of the mailer that's going out that you all have. So that's his final draft for that. So you can see what's going out in all the mailboxes. It won't go out like this. My picture will not be prominently displayed. It'll be folded in half and you'll see it like that. So we spent, you know, half of the inside talking about our measure. And so we did that, and then we did some other modifications. So this talks about volunteering on this side, but the main thing we were trying to get out was information about the levy. So I think we've done a pretty good job of that. We can still make some changes if you guys see something on it that you want adjusted, or you think it's not saying the right thing. Please let Cody, well, he's not gonna be around tomorrow, but you could let me know or let Cody know on Friday. We can still make those adjustments before it goes to the printer. Remember our open house here on the 25th. There's gonna be a graduation of all those people that are within the Recruit Academy. The levy election, the ballots go out about 3 weeks prior to that, so we're going to time the mailer going out, and I believe about 4 or 5 days later the mail-in ballots will go out, so there's a little bit of time in there. And then I will not be here at the next board meeting. You'll still have my report, but I'll be at the Fire Chiefs Conference over in Central Oregon. Any questions for me?
Do you remember when the ME, Dr. Beamer, had that big fire down there? A couple kids got crushed by logs. This was years and years ago, back in the day. He put together a big to-do and had people come down, and they piled a bunch of logs up there. Really? Actually weren't piled up. They just started a big fire within there and stood around and talked about it, had fire picnic.
I do not remember that, Dan. No. Was that when you were working for PacWest?
Yeah.
Boy, I don't know. I might be able to. So, actually, Dr. Beamer's still around.
Is he?
Yeah. If I show up at Newport Fire, he's like one of the guys comes in and has coffee almost every morning.
Wow.
So, he's looking pretty old.
He was old then.
He was old man. He was one of the only surgeons around in Lincoln County. So,
well, at least we thought he was old, but yeah,
he could be. Yeah, I wanted to do a call with him, put the guy on the monitor, and the guy was in VTAC. And Dr. Beamer looked at me like I was supposed to do something, and said, "You're the doctor," because I'm a surgeon.
I got a question in regards to what we were talking about, the fires on the beach.
Yes.
That we were talking about. Is there any agreement with the state as far as this department handling the fires, or could we bill them for that?
So they have a, they give the fire departments along the beaches here money every year. We get about $600 from Oregon Parks and Recreation for handling beach fires.
That would be about.
That wouldn't even cover one.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
So maybe we ought to hit them up for.
Yep, and there is actually, so there is some push through the legislature to increase reimbursement from Oregon Parks to fire departments. And it's not just for beach fires. I'll give you the example there is down in Florence in the dunes. So the fire departments go out there all the time to rescue and bring people out of the dunes, right? And Oregon Parks and Recreation doesn't pay a whole lot of money for them to go out there. And they spend hours out there sometimes trying to search people. Same thing up in North Tillamook County and in South Clatsop County, up on there. They spend hours going on hiking trails to get people out. We do not just on the beach, but we go to the Drift Creek Bridge, Drift Creek Falls, and we'll go down there, it'll be hours. When we go up here on God's Thumb, that's National Forest land. Out of our district, we spend hours doing that. And we don't get anything for it. So there's a push.
Maybe we should.
Well, we should. There's a push legislatively for additional reimbursement because we're covering stuff that they should be doing. And I'll tell you, yesterday's kid that slid down the bank and from up top up there, he was a local kid. So it's not like they're all from out of town that come do this. We have the same mentality of people that do that. Mm-hmm. And then it's coming back to what we've heard is this, maybe he did this on a dare to get rescued. So it's like the TikTok challenge.
And you need to find, I think we need to start fining people or charging them for rescue.
We can charge
somehow.
Them for stuff, but you know, so anyways.
Well, it's really no different than what they do on Mount Hood, the rescue teams up there.
Oh yeah. Yep,
they
do that. And I think Clackamas County has a search and rescue team, and so does Wasco, I want to say Wasco, whatever, Hood River County, those guys come up. And they're all volunteer agencies. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, I don't know how they get most of their funding. I know some of it comes through the sheriff's office, but a lot of it is, you know, they have bake sales. And
maybe we should start collecting that time that we go out to any of these beach fires, and also billing for the equipment that we're using, and send them a bill for it. See what they do.
Maybe Oregon Parks and Recreation?
Yeah. Maybe it'll bring them to negotiating. Maybe.
Well, the other thing too is, I just remembered this, is there's a lot of people up that are not paying tax, fire tax, remember? Mm-hmm. Up Voyage, you know, the new places that are going in.
Yeah, that's supposedly, so that's gonna get fixed this year.
Okay.
There was, the governor signed it back in.
That was 2 years ago.
June or July. No, that was 1068, it's come completely different.
Okay.
So now a new legislature thing got passed that any property within the city limits of a city, the money, if you are covered by a fire district, you have to be paying that fire district. And so, like I showed you, there's some vacant lots up there that you'll go to one and it won't be paying, and then the one right next door is paying. The county is required to fix all that. Even those nine properties that we went up to and got annexed into the district, and then there were four other ones that didn't. I looked at those the other days because March 31st was the deadline, and those properties were not assessed on on April 3rd, that they were not assessed to being in the fire district. So that's part of the conversation I had with the Oregon State Fire Marshal's office the other day, and I brought that to their attention. And so one of the strategies we came up with is we're going to have at the Fire Defense Board meeting, we're going to lay all these Senate bills and House bills out that were supposed to be, and how they were the assessor's office was supposed to fix this. And then once everybody's educated on that, we're going to ask the county assessor to come to the Fire Defense Board meeting and say, hey,
you didn't do
what did you do? Mm-hmm. Why is this not done? So I talked to it. They have a new employee up there named Summer Swanson, I believe, something like that. Anyway, I've had discussions with her, and she says, well, send me a list. I go, I'm not going to send you a list.
You need to look it up.
I can't go through and pinpoint every lot up there and say yes, no, yes, no. I don't have that kind of time. You should be able to run a query in your system that says anybody with this tax code, so they have three-digit tax codes, anybody in 461 mm-hmm. in the city limits should be paying. Are they or are they not? Because they're paying the city, mm-hmm. they're paying the county, they're paying the school district, they're paying the hospital district, they're paying the dog catcher, and then our name won't be on there, right? So why all these other places but not the fire district? So there's some, again, legislation went through. We're working on it. It takes a lot of time and effort to get oh, yeah. through. But okay. I don't mind putting together how much this cost for. So we had a fire, pretty big fire down on the beach. You know, it had to do with Lacey's kid. Was that 3 years ago? Two, 3 years ago?
And by Spanish Ed that went up?
I didn't go up anything. It stayed down there on the beach. And so we came up with our cost. So we were down there. Depot Bay was down there. Oregon Department of Forestry were down there. We calculated that entire cost and put it together and gave it to the police department, because if they were going to charge these kids for starting this fire, this was mm-hmm. this is how much it cost, and they would have to pay restitution back to us. And they didn't charge the kids, and it kind of ended up that maybe they didn't have the right people that were detained, that kind of stuff. So we'll keep trying.
Yeah.
I got more, Tim. You need to stop.
Down there and build a big old bonfire, burn up some logs.
We're good.
I'd like to stack it all up and just burn it.
Just a quick reminder, as the chief mentioned, upcoming district board member activities. We have open house here Saturday the 25th. Love to see anybody and everybody.
Is there food?
Yes.
Northwest Naturals are going to be cooking. Correct. Hot dogs and hamburgers.
Is that going to be you?
Yes.
Your last big, is this your going away party at the same time?
No. All right. Anything good to the order? Anybody have anything good to the order? Okay. Calling for public comment on non-agenda items. Okay. Not hearing any. Looking for a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Nancy Oxmoor?
Yes.
Tim Beattie?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yep.
Dan Drayton?
Yep.
The meeting is.